This is For Maine with Love, an Allagash Brewing podcast where we talk about beer, our community here in Maine, and things that generally make us happy. I'm Brett. I work in marketing here at Allagash, and I am very lucky to have two people from our lab joining me. I have Zach Boda, our quality manager, and Hannah Johnson, a quality specialist here at Allagash. You'll get to hear about what goes on in a brewery lab, all the various ways we make sure our beers are tasting, you know, fresh and delicious, what the heck we mean by bottle conditioning or can conditioning for that matter, and how we keep our yeast happy and healthy, among many other things. So basically, if you're looking to learn about what goes on at a brewery lab, you have come to the right auditory place.
For having us.
Yeah, this is exciting, Brett. Thanks for having us.
So today the goal is we're going to talk about the lab here at Allagash. So the fact that there is a lab in a brewery, what that lab does and what it's like to work in a lab where the primary goal is tasty, tasty beer, among many other things. But before we get into that, I wanted to start by asking a question. So I'm going to start with Hannah. What's something that's been exciting for you recently outside of brewing? What have you been excited about?
Definitely the warm weather that's making its way here. I'm definitely ready for some sunshine and some Portland adventures. I feel pretty grateful that I live in a city like Portland. I guess I'd say I'm really excited about all the awesome food and drink that is constantly going on.
Yeah.
we just have like endless opportunities in Portland to eat some good food and drink some good beer. And I'd say that's probably what I'm the most excited about.
Love it. Awesome. Zach, same question for you. What have you been excited about?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to be excited about. It's hard to boil it down just to one thing, Brett. I'm really excited that some restrictions are loosening up and that I'm going to get some travel in. With the family over the course of this year. So I have a couple trips planned that I'm pretty excited about.
Ooh, any particular place, one that's exciting?
Yeah. Yeah, going to Jamaica with my wife and some friends,
nice.
Which will be fun. And I'm finally taking sabbatical that I should have taken in 2019. We're heading out to Idaho, Wyoming. And we're going to have some fun out there with the fam.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you. Cool. All right. So I'm going to kind of toss this up to both of you and kind of you can choose who answers it. But I think the high level question is sort of what is the purpose of a brewery lab?
Cool. I'll take that one. I've answered this question many times. So yeah, the purpose of a brewery lab, brewery to brewery, it's going to be pretty different, but you know, ultimately, we're simply here to make sure that the consumers receive the product as we intend them to have it. There's not going to be blemished beer. There's not going to be flawed beer when they get it at the store or they have it on draft at their favorite pub or anything. We're here to make sure that it's all quality focused. We want to make sure the beer is of the most quality and it stays that way even out after it leaves the brewery.
I don't even know. That is a very good, succinct way to say that. But I feel like I don't even know if this is easy to encapsulate. But like, what are the bigger things that you're actually trying to look for that would end up blemishing the beer? Not to get on the negative immediately, but I guess what are the things that you're trying to avoid?
Oh, yeah, I got a little pyramid for you. So number one would be, top of the pyramid, of course, is consumer safety. You know, it's one thing if a consumer has a spoiled beer, that's a bummer. And man, don't we look bad and they're never going to buy our beer again, right? But if we provide them with a package that's not safe, if it's an overpressurized bottle or can, or if they're, you know, if our keg machine, our kegger didn't work properly and there's chemical in the keg, there's a number of things that could go wrong and harm a consumer. So that's first and foremost. And two, definitely is superior quality, right? We want them to have the best experience possible. They know that we provide a premium level of quality. We have to do that time and time again. So that's when it comes down to one, sensory, but two, the microbiology program and making sure that the only organisms in our beer are the ones that we want to be in there and not ones that can potentially spoil the beer down the line. And thirdly, the bottom of that pyramid would be consistency. We got to do that time and time again. So that's where analytical chemistry comes in. And I'm sure we'll get into more of some of this, but those are the different levels. It's consumer safety, it's premium product, and it's consistency. That's how we look at it.
That's great. So I guess kind of to get more specific about it, like Hannah, what would you say would be some like day-to-day things that you're doing in the lab?
We bottle condition our beer. So it's basically the beer is going through a second fermentation within the packaged vessel. So a lot of my day-to-day is making sure that the beer is re-fermenting, that it's coming up to the proper carbonation, that it's getting through all of those sugars that we purposely dosed into that beer, and that it's ready for sensory. That beer then gets tasted on panel by all of our tasters here at the brewery. And if it passes, then we're good to go. Other than that, I help out a lot with our micro program. So that's sampling and analyzing beer to make sure, as Zach said, nothing is growing in there that should not be. That's basically just confirming that the brewers are doing a really good job cleaning. And then another part of my job is kind of the consistency component. So testing our beer basically every batch for color and IBUs to make sure that we're brewing consistently and we're getting the same product every single time. So every time you open a white, it's the same as the last time you opened it.
There are a couple things in there that I feel like I want to like just touch back on. So like when we say sensory panelists, that's people at the brewery who are both looking at and tasting the beers. So could you talk just a little bit more about like what that entails? Not to get into the entire sensory program, because that's like an entire different podcast. So don't feel like you have to encapsulate all of it. But I feel like that's just a fun one to touch upon.
Yeah. So here at Allagash, we have an entire sensory program. So we've got Carl Arnberg, our sensory manager, and Matthew Davis, who does a lot of work with Carl. And they lead true to type panels daily, where we put every single beer that we package onto panels. So our tasters here at the brewery, which is basically all of us, anyone from the brewers to the people who work in the office, we're all trained to taste our beer. So we're basically looking for any red flag flaws, tasting each of our brands and making sure that they taste as they should. Because each time they, you know, someone opens one of our beers, we're hoping that it's the same flavor every single time. And there's certain off flavors and flavor attributes that are undesirable in beers, even things that are, you know, naturally produced during fermentation, it could give us an indicator that the beer hasn't been fermented fully. All kinds of different things we're looking for. Zach, do you want to add anything?
Oh, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Definitely nailed it. I feel like one of the things that's kind of was interesting to me to learn as I went up in my own journey through the tasting program is like part of that tasting panel is actually kind of a test for you as a taster. And not to get too far into it, but like Carl's a trickster. He does all sorts of tricky dosing things with different things because you can actually have off flavors intentionally put in a beer. And so I always thought that was interesting when, you know, we will intentionally make a beer taste different to make sure our tasters are actually picking up on it alongside other beers that taste totally normal. And it's really hard.
Yeah, Carl definitely keeps us on our toes. My favorite trick he does is when he'll put a different brand on panel and see if we can pick up that it's a different beer than what he's saying.
Right. Yeah, it's not easy.
He's always, you know, like mixing it up and making sure that we're all paying attention and tasting properly and able to pick out those flavor attributes that shouldn't be there. And you make a good point, Brett, because a lot of it is like training, you know, like even when we're doing true to type, he'll throw those spikes in there and, you know, test our knowledge and make sure we're picking up on them.
Oh, totally. Just to go back a little bit, another term you put out there, and I think you kind of defined it, but I just want to make sure we really did, is SRM. So can you just talk about SRM and how that works for like a beer like White?
Sure. Yeah. We basically have a range where we want our color to be, or SRM to be. We call them the Ala Max and Ala Min. When I'm doing my audits, nice. that's the range. basically we're just making sure our malt that's coming in is up to our standards. You know, like we're making sure the brewing process is also, you know, there's nothing like wonky going on in the brewing process, which they're really, you know, there are certain things that can happen during the hot side that can affect our color. We're also just, you know, making sure that our contract is being, how would you word it, Zach? Like our malt is up to spec.
Our suppliers, kind of, we're holding them accountable to the specifications. Yes.
That's awesome.
So like if we do have a kind of a whack lot of malt, we can make adjustments to the brew house to account for it.
It really is. It's especially important, Brett, for Allagash White, because it's such a pale beer, and any even small increase in color can really affect the overall beer color. If we go up, you know, 0.5 SRM, doesn't seem like a lot, but that's, we could visually see that when we have that on sensory panel.
Wow.
And it can look like, stop looking like Allagash White and become Allagash Orange very quickly. So we take the color of our malt pretty seriously.
Yeah. And I feel like that brings up just an interesting point too, where, you know, you both are in the quality department, and I've learned this as the more I've kind of tried to write about what all of you do, you know, within the brewery. And it's like, you're kind of like the tip of the spear when it comes to quality. And I guess, Zach, could you kind of just talk about our philosophy of quality that goes way beyond our lab?
Yes. Yes. Man, where to even begin? It's such an elemental part of our structure here. We could really talk about it forever, but I'll just start with Rob. Since Rob opened the company in 1995, you know, quality was a huge priority for him at that point. And if anything, it's only grown over time. He is so dedicated, to making Allagash White, to making all the Allagash beer, really investing in quality. So from there, yeah, quality is not just the lab. It's throughout the entire brewery. We do have a slogan that says, you know, quality is everyone here at Allagash. It's so true. You know, we select raw materials. Those raw materials enter the warehouse. We have warehouse specialists digging into those raw materials to make sure that they're up to spec for it. And say we're getting grain in, they're checking moisture. They're checking to make sure that the oats are actually oats. It's not rye berries. We need to look at hop lots as they're coming in. That is not the lab's duty. The warehouse team is taking that into account upon arrival. It's going into our system. And those are lots that have to be very carefully traced throughout the entire process from the warehouse to the brewery as our brewers use it. The numbers that Hannah will go through to tie it all together with the data, it's all very meaningful. In the brew house, same steps. We've dialed in SOPs over the years to do things the same every single time, right? There's not one brewer who brews this way and another brewer who brews this way. We're all brewing the same way, right?
So thinking, I guess, more specifically for both of you, I think, because there are probably a lot of people who would think, well, how do you get a job at a brewery? Like, how do you come into that position? So I'd just be interested for, both of you to tell me just kind of like how did you find yourself at Allagash?
Sure. Well, I'm laughing because you could probably ask one of us because we had a very similar path.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I kind of like, well, I don't want to say this because I'm obviously super passionate about beer, but like I kind of wasn't seeking out beer. It kind of fell into my lap in a way. Went to school for environmental conservation, and I focused in biology conservation, and I worked in a lot of water quality labs. One of which Zach also worked in at UNH. We both worked for the Lake Slay monitoring program. And Zach, was that your first lab job?
That was my first lab job, yeah.
That was also my first lab job. So from there, I did a couple more internships, both focused in freshwater biology. And I was just at a point in my life that I wanted something more permanent. I've always been super into science, so I knew I wanted to stay in that field. So I actually had a ton of friends who were in sales in the brewing industry. So they basically convinced me to apply to a brewery to work in the lab because they were like, oh, it's essentially the same thing you're doing now. Which one would think, because beer is like, what, 90% water? We don't do any water quality in the lab, basically. I mean, we're looking a little bit at our the different water that we use for micro counts just to make sure our water is looking good and clean. But just in general, that water quality experience did help me out a lot when it did come to working in a brewery. So I ended up taking a job as a keg cleaner at Smutty Nose Brewing Company in New Hampshire, and basically weaseled my way into the lab. I just wouldn't leave the quality manager at Smutty Nose alone until she let me start testing some of the beer. And from there, I just worked part-time at QC, but at the same time, I was trained to cellar and brew. And my first job at Smutty Nose Brewing Company, I just absolutely fell in love with beer. I fell in love with the industry and the community. And it was pretty awesome because I could also do some, you know, science as well. And I would say I noticed that there was a full-time job, or I mean, I actively looked. There was a full-time job at Allagash that was posted. So I obviously applied. And the other amazing thing about coming to work here is I'm able to kind of utilize my degree in some way because we're so focused on our sustainability efforts. So I really lucked out with where I ended up because I feel like I'm using a little bit of that environmental mindset, but I'm also doing what I love, which is science every day. And drinking beer.
Zach, how about you? It sounds like there are probably a few differences, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. Just go back earlier a decade, probably. But I was at I was at the same college, University of New Hampshire, and studying the sciences. And I did a lot of freshwater biology as well, and got to spend the summer, you know, out on canoes, sampling all the lakes of New Hampshire and taking that water back to the lab and running a bunch of wet chemistry on it. It was the best. So you get to be outside and you get to do science. Can't ask for more than that. So that's where the love of science really stepped in. But then you go to graduate and, you know, there's not really a lot of jobs out there where you jump in a canoe and collect water samples. So,
yeah.
So you try to figure out what you're going to do with your life. I went into biotech right out of school, and didn't totally dislike it, but I wasn't very passionate about it, and I wanted to do something that I would look forward to do every day. And I was super interested in brewing. My dad was a home brewer when I was growing up, and I had plenty of memories of capping bottles with him. So, you know, as I was going through college and getting a science degree, I remember that he used to homebrew. I was like, Dad, we should homebrew again. I know science, man. Let's figure this out. So I got into it with him, and then realized maybe that's a career opportunity. And, you know, this is years and years ago, and there wasn't as many breweries by far, and the jobs were pretty few. But I was lucky enough to get an internship at the Portsmouth Brewery in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And at the time, Todd Mott is the godfather of New England brewing. He was the lead brewer there, and I got to learn brewing through him. And then we knocked on the door at Allagash for a long time to get some full-time work, and eventually it worked out. And when I was at Allagash, gosh, this was probably 2009. We had been in this building maybe for a year at that point. But, you know, there's maybe 10 people in production, and everyone's brewing and cellaring and packaging and building orders. And it's, you know, it's very different than it is now. But it was a ton of fun. And man, I couldn't imagine doing anything more fun and enjoying anything more. And, you know, over the course of the past decade or a dozen years, it's only gotten better, which is, it's unimaginable. So, got to grow a lot with the company.
Yeah. I mean, kind of on that point too, like, I guess, what would you say are the biggest differences, like, in what you're doing from the early days to now? I'm sure there are pretty big differences. I mean, both big and small differences.
Probably, I was going to say shooting from the hip, but there's still some shooting from the hip. but organization wide, I think we're more prepared, more organized, more structured in terms of, you know, our operating procedures. I'd say rigid too, but it's not rigid because we do keep it pretty loose here at the same time. I guess we've maintained that balance of, you know, it's a pleasure to work here. It's a pleasure to be around the employees. What we're doing is pretty fun, and that hasn't changed at all. It's just, maybe it's just the scale and the technology at our fingertips.
If for some reason, talking about like you first starting and stuff, it reminded me of a story actually that I just remember when I first started. I think one of our salespeople, Susie, did a beer test. She's like, see your knowledge on beer. And I went thinking like, oh, this is gonna be fun. Like, you know, we'll talk about beer stuff. And I got like a 4 out of like 30. I was awful. And then she went around being like, and everyone did okay. Like, no, I don't think anyone was terribly confident about it. And Zach, you came out with like a 29 or something. It was like absurd.
That's awesome.
It was great. It was great. It was nice. Talking about like Burton on Trent and stuff. And I was like, I don't know what that is. And it's, yeah. Anyway, so kudos to you on your beer knowledge.
Thank you, bro.
Yes. So there's some other things I think we can talk about for our lab, but there, one that I actually was really interested to hear both of your take on was, if you were talking to a smaller brewery, what sort of fundamental quality checks would you encourage them to do?
Hannah, you want to take the lead on this?
Sure. I would definitely say it's really important to know your product like inside and out. So I would say, you know, sensory, just sitting down and having beer with your coworkers. I mean, that's pretty easy. Just, you know, shoot the shit and drink some beer and get to know your brands. But also just, you know, taking note on like different things like fermentation, just know how your yeast, you know, like ferments and what's normal, what's not normal. Basically like take all the notes that you can, and look at them daily. And you know, like you can do quality in a lot of ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a huge lab. I think another really important part is just paying attention to, you know, like carbonation in your cans. That's also another really easy one. You can get a Zom your like finished product, keep an eye on it, make sure everything's going all right in there, and definitely do some micro. You don't need a ton of, you know, expensive, crazy equipment to be able to do some quick checks on different parts of the brewing process. I can't understate how important it is to pay attention to quality. Obviously, we all live that life here at Allagash. Like, it's really at the front of our minds, all of us. When we were talking about, where Zach was talking about the warehouse and production, I kind of like to say we're all quality specialists here at Allagash. Like, even if you're working in the offices, like, you're helping us taste our beer every single day and making sure it's ready for the market. But yeah, like I said, for the smaller breweries out there, there's a lot of different ways to do quality without having to put in a ton of finances. Zach?
You know, sensory, you know, even if you don't have a sophisticated sensory program, if you have, if you're tasting your beer in a controlled environment day after day, even if you can't name 10 esters and phenols and 10 off flavors, you still get a really good idea of what that brand should be, so long as you're tasting it every day. And if something's different, you'll know right away. So that's, you know, at that level, sensory is free. And you can do it. Other than that, I would say, you know, just having some expectations or specifications for your brands, right? So no matter what it is, the color, you know, we have a range of acceptable color. We want it to be within these limits. Even if that color is on a rating system using your own eyes, right? Say you don't have a spec or a spectrophotometer to measure color, you can still look at it day after day and kind of read it. Yeah, CO2, I agree, is very important. And mostly in terms of stability, one really cheap thing you can do is you can archive each packaging run. And we'll go back to consumer safety, right? Like, that's should be all of our biggest concerns. And a huge risk in beer is hyper attenuation in a can. So Hannah was saying we monitor the CO2 production in cans very, very tightly, right? She's looking at that every day for every beer that we package over time. 1, 2, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 24 weeks. We not only want that beer to reach a certain CO2, we don't want it to go above a certain CO2 either. So it does become overpressurized and possibly dangerous to someone. Even if you don't have, so there's an instrument Hannah referred to briefly as a ZOM. It's a ZOM and Nagel is the name of the company in the industry. They're just referred to it as ZOMs. But essentially you can pierce a can, give it a shake, and the instrument will tell you both the temperature and the pressure inside the vessel. Based on those two units, we can tell the CO2 volumes in. So, you know, even if you don't have a ZOM, you can age your beer and crack one open at certain time intervals and make sure that, or even if you're canning, you can grab hold of the can. And if that sucker is getting tight, you know, that might tell you something. But even better, if you can either pop it open and see if it's overcarbonated or actually put it in an instrument and measure CO2. That's basic stuff, but super, super helpful.
Yeah, and I feel like just to add on to that, you know, like just some more innovative ways is you can like buy plates that are already poured and that sort of thing and be able to plate all of your beer to look for like the certain organisms that we don't want in our product, you know, like you don't have to like do it all here. Sorry, I'm not saying that's super great, but what I'm trying to get at is like there are easy ways to do micro without having like a full-blown micro program. Like you don't need an autoclave, you don't need all the like special expensive equipment. Like I'll never forget my sister asked me to come in and teach her third grade kids about the water cycle, and I was like using words like evapotranspiration and like all kinds of like scientific terms, and they were all just like looking at me like I almost cried.
but luckily they didn't cry.
No, they didn't.
It was just you.
They were okay. Like super pumped, even though they had no idea what I was talking about. I said I was a field awesome. Technician and they were like, what's that?
It just made me think too, a little bit with, like, you know, we've been talking about how, like, you know, the whole brewery is quality to a certain extent. And I think like it transfers over even into marketing, you know, beyond the fact that we taste the beers. Like Zach and Jason, our brewmaster, are actually CC'd on every single quality response we get, which still honestly blows my mind that you guys are like, yeah, put CC me on that, because I think they're like, it could go other places, but like, so I'm actually CC'd on those as well. And it's just interesting to see, you know, there's a lot of care. Like we care about when people say, I had this experience with that beer. A lot of the quality submissions we get through our website are about, you know, how the beer tastes or how it's perceived. And so a lot of that is subjective. And so even the ones that we think are pretty subjective of like, oh, perhaps this person just hasn't had this in a while and they forgot how it tastes, or oh, perhaps like, you know, whatever it might be, we're still looking into a lot of those batches to make sure, double check, oh, there's definitely not anything that's, you know, biologically, organically wrong with this beer. So what's next for the lab? What's the future of the Allagash lab?
Even over the past few years, the focus of the lab has really kind of sprouted in a number of different directions throughout the brewery. Two of the big ones off the top of my head being, you know, we talked a lot about lab work today. We talked a lot about quality control, really. We didn't talk a lot about, we touched on quality assurance. And it's important to note that there is a distinction between quality assurance and quality control. The classic brewery lab, very quality control focused, right? Where we're taking that beer after it's packaged and we're measuring it in different ways. It's reactive, right? We want to make sure that beer ended up the way we wanted it to. So where quality control is reactive, a reactive process, quality assurance is preventative. We're making sure that things don't go awry in the first place. So we have a much larger focus on quality assurance, and we also have more of a focus on data management. And, you know, yeah. I mentioned earlier, you know, the hop lots that come in from the warehouse or from the supplier to the warehouse, to the brewery. We also rely on those lots as a quality department. And that's just one piece of data. There are so many pieces of data that go into every raw material, every measurement throughout the brew house, the brewing process, the cellaring process, the packaging process. We, you know, across the brewery, there are many different consumers of that data, and we need that data to be the same for everyone. We're all working with that same data source, right? Like, it's this one truth. And there's been a lot of momentum in centralizing the quality data for us to use in the laboratory and across the brewery.
It's great. Well, thank you both for all taking right. the time. It was so good.
Sorry,
it was...
I drifted. Sorry.
Not at all.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, Hannah, thanks for joining too.
And
yeah.
Thanks for including the lab. That's awesome. And I can't wait to start hearing these roll up. So.
This has been an Allagash Brewing production. If you have anything that you want to ask us, anything that you're interested in hearing us talk about, please let us know at podcast@allagash.com.